Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Well, good morning and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio this morning. Do you ever read a portion of Scripture and think, that's not fair? They didn't deserve to go through all those problems. Well, this morning, that's certainly the case of the young man that we're going to talk about, a young man by the name of Daniel. He's a young man of likely noble birth with great gifts and abilities, but he's been taken from his home and placed in the palace of the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is far from home and under great pressure to conform to the lifestyle of Babylon. No one at home could blame Daniel if he'd bend or conform, because nobody really knows. But Daniel's not living to please man. He has his heart set on pleasing God. Today we're going to talk about staying true in tough times. I hope you'll be able to stay with us for today's program.
I was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see, burdened down by sin, till Jesus rescued me. I was in the miry clay, when he lifted me to the blessed rock of ages, for all eternity. I am free, he set me free, from the chains of sin that bound me. I am free, I am free. Set me free from the darkness all around me. I am free.
I am walking now by faith, standing on his word, covered by the blood, rejoicing in the Lord.
Now I know I'm heaven bound in the narrow way, so I keep my eyes on Jesus, and from my heart I say, I am free. He set me free from the chains of sin that bound me. I am free, I am free. He set me free from the darkness all around me. I am free, I am free.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone.
And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone.
I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone.
My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone.
They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Praise God, my sins are gone.
Praise God, I am free. He set me free from the chains of sin that bound me. I am free, I am free. He set me free
from the darkness all around me,
from the chains of sin that bound me,
from temptations that surround me.
I am free.
It truly is a wonderful thing to be truly freed from the past, free from the sin, free from the bondage, and free from the guilt because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Let's look to our Lord in prayer this morning and thank Him for just that. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy and the grace that's been extended to us. I pray, Lord, this morning for each listener. You see those that are walking with You, and I pray, Lord, that You would encourage them this morning. For one that may not know You as their Lord and Savior, may You convict their hearts, draw them to You this morning, we pray. In all that's accomplished, may we be faithful to give You praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. This evening, we're happy to be hosting the Interchurch Holiness Convention and look forward to the ministry and fellowship that is planned. Pre-service music and children's church will begin at 6 o'clock p.m., and then the main service is scheduled for 6:30. I hope you'll be able to join us. Then, this week, beginning on Tuesday evening, we'd love to have you join us for revival services with evangelist Paul Stettler. The services are scheduled for 7 p.m. each weeknight, and then our regular service times of 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We're praying that God will bless and speak to us in a very special way this week. I hope that you will be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
The straight and narrow way. I'll be a good example, faithful in all I do and say. I will do right, walk in the light. Someone is watching all the time. I will be true in everything I do. Make my example glow and shine. I want my friends to trust me. I want to keep my record clean. Honest and pure I must be, so my example can be seen. I will do right, walk in the light. Someone is watching all the time. I will be true.
Our text for the message this morning is from Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had an ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Now, can you imagine with me what life was like for young Daniel? Can you imagine? Welcome to Nebuchadnezzar's School of Transformation. You're beginning phase one of a 3-year program. Now, this change of names wasn't just because King Nebuchadnezzar couldn't pronounce a name like Daniel. This was an indication of what this program was to do to these young boys. It was to remake them into good Chaldeans. And the first step was to change their identity from identifying with the God of Israel to identifying with the God of Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar really wanted to become their God. The taking of the vessels from the house of God and placing them in the treasure house of Nebuchadnezzar was a symbol of what he wanted for Israel. He wanted Israel to serve him and his purposes. Now, you see, King Nebuchadnezzar was brilliant. When the Babylonians invaded a nation, they knew that the people wouldn't just come out and obey them if they just came in and lorded over them and to rule the new nation. Instead, Babylon came in, and they found the best and the brightest young men, the popular, the good-looking kids, the kids with nobility, the kids that would have influence in the community. Then they kidnapped them from their family, took them away. The plan was to slowly turn these guys into puppets for Babylon, and then come back and turn them back into the nation of Israel so that everyone would follow their lead. King Nebuchadnezzar realized that what gets your attention will ultimately determine your direction. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to get these guys' attention, and in order to get the attention of the whole nation, so he could shift them and change the direction into something he could control. You know, I think even today, Satan uses a similar strategy to destroy you. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar's school of transformation is patterned after Satan's strategy to destroy the Christian. And I think this morning there's a few things that we need to be aware of when we're guarding against the attacks of Satan. First, Satan wants to remove you from the presence and the people of God. The people of God help keep each other on fire for God. So Satan will do anything he can in his power to separate and to isolate people from each other and from the presence of God. Usually, Satan uses distractions as the main tool to accomplish this. He may use school, he may use hobbies, he may use friendships or relationships. Satan will do anything he can to keep you from spending time with God and his people. And my friend, this morning, if you're not in the presence of God and his people, your spiritual life will suffer. Again, Satan wants to remove you from the presence and the people of God. Second, Satan wants to create a new purpose for your life. He tries to come and impress you. Part of Nebuchadnezzar's brilliance was that he was treating these young men very, very well. They were given the best of everything, enjoying a lavish lifestyle that would give them the impression that they were important and that Nebuchadnezzar would empower them to be what they could be. They were being conditioned to look at Nebuchadnezzar for their rights and for their significance. You know, my friend, this morning, God created you to make a difference in your world for him. Don't give up on God's purpose for your life. Don't choose being cool or accepted or popular instead of being holy and obedient and passionately living for God. Satan wants you to pursue everything in life but the one thing that really matters. Satan wants to create a new purpose for your life, to take away your living for Christ and for the God who created you. Third, Satan wants to change your identity. You see, Daniel's name identified him with the true God, and changing that was something that would identify him now with Nebuchadnezzar. Think about the meaning of Daniel and his friends' names and what Nebuchadnezzar changed them into. For Daniel, his name meant, "My judge is Elohim," or "My judge is God." His name is changed to Belteshazzar, or Bel, or "Lord, protect the king." For Hananiah, it was "Yahweh, who is gracious," is changed to Shadrach, or "command of the moon god." For Mishael, the name meant "who is like Elohim," or "who is like God," to Meshach, or "who is what Aku is," another god of the Babylonians. For Azariah, his name meant "Yahweh has helped." His new name, Abednego, meant "servant of Nebo." You know, Daniel didn't allow this new name to change his identity, though. And I think for us this morning, if we're going to be victorious in this life spiritually, we cannot accept the identity of Satan, who wants to be our slave master. If Jesus has saved you from your sins, you need to stop identifying yourself with the sins of the past and identify with Christ and be who Christ created you to be. Satan wants for you to find your identity and your security in anything other than Christ. Fourth, Satan wants you to compromise and to lure you into an allegiance with him. For King Nebuchadnezzar, this was a fairly subtle attack on these young Hebrew boys. After all, it's just food, right? He was using social pressure. Everyone else is eating it, including the king, to get them to accept it, to accept his lifestyle. You know, Satan loves it when you compromise. Satan loves when you try to rationalize the decisions you need to make in life. Things like, "I can listen to this music," or "maybe this movie isn't that bad," or "it's just a joke, God doesn't mind," or "I'll only do it once," or "God will forgive me," or "perhaps I'll stop before it becomes a problem in my life." In doing this, Satan gets you to make excuses like, "I don't have time to pray today." Perhaps the pastor's message was too deep, or perhaps the pastor's message was too shallow or silly. For many of us, "I'm just too busy." You know, when we choose to compromise in the little things in life, unfaithfulness in the big things always follows close behind. My friend, this morning, Satan wants you to compromise and to lure you into allegiance with evil. Now, in the case of Daniel, let's stop and look and see how the plan of Satan worked out in Daniel's life. Verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Wow, what commitments and what resolve in the heart of this young man. He couldn't see the future, and his entire world had been turned upside down. His life is in danger if he doesn't conform and go along with the program that he's in right now. But even with these fears and these uncertainties swirling in his head, Daniel is confident that God is able to keep him and pull him through these problems in his life. God is at work even in this place, which we can clearly see when we look at the next verse. Notice how verse 9 starts. It says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king." Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his reign. And Daniel continued, even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, this morning, if I was trying to get you on the Daniel diet plan, this would be where we'd say, yes, in Daniel's life, we can clearly see that a healthy diet will change how you look and feel. It'll even give you a mental advantage. Why don't you detox your body today and find new strength and health? But this morning, even though a healthy diet is important, if that's all you get out of the scripture, you're missing a far greater truth, something deeper. You see, God was glorified in the life of Daniel, and God was able then to use Daniel in a mighty way. I'd like to point out 4 things that God helped Daniel to do that made a difference in his life. First, we see that Daniel resolved in advance to please God. He loved God. Daniel was committed to be faithful long before the attacks ever came in his life. He knew God's will for him, and he decided to live by that will no matter what the consequences. King Nebuchadnezzar tried to get him to compromise, but Daniel trusted God, and he trusted that God could accomplish more through his faithfulness than he could through compromising and going along with King Nebuchadnezzar's plans. While other people around him were caving to the pressure, he and his faithful friends were strong, and God rewarded their trust in him. Have you ever wondered, what will people say about me if I really follow God? Or what if I get made fun of? What if I don't have any friends if I become a Christian? You know, these are all things that Satan uses to keep us from really trusting in God and really being all that he wants us to be. I challenge you this morning to put God to the test. Don't allow Satan's lies or the fear he conjures up to control your life. Daniel resolved in advance to please God, and he followed through in that resolve. Second, Daniel respectfully stood firm. God didn't deliver Daniel from his circumstances. He delivered Daniel through his circumstances. And I think even for us today, this is often how God accomplishes his will in us. He doesn't make a mistake putting you here and now, no matter how confusing and upsetting the problems of your life may be. The same God that brought Daniel through can do that for you as well. In the heat of the moment, Daniel didn't argue with his teachers or start a riot, but he trusted God. And God had helped him build a relationship with his authority, and in this it provided a door of opportunity to speak to them and allow God to work. In a respectful and godly manner, Daniel faced the situation with strength and dignity. And in all of it, God was glorified even before a wicked king. Daniel proved by respectfully standing firm that God will deliver, and he delivered Daniel through the fight. Third, Daniel rallied godly friends. See, Daniel didn't do this alone. My friend, this morning, you should seek out good friends. The church helps you to be balanced and stand firm when everything around you is shifting. Though the body of Christ is very diverse, faith in Jesus binds us together to help us live in victory. Someone once said, "Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future." In Daniel's case, he rallied godly friends, and together they prayed and saw God work. Finally, number 4, Daniel revealed God's power. He lived it. Daniel wasn't all talk, and God provided and protected him. Others may have blended right into King Nebuchadnezzar's plan. They looked exactly the same as the Babylonians. But Daniel proved to us that God can give us power to be different. When Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said this, He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus overcame. He was not overwhelmed by his circumstances, but instead he overcame, and he proved the power of God to overcome your circumstances. Daniel revealed God's power to a nation that thought they had conquered Israel and Israel's God. But God's power was not shaken. He was still king. He was still in control. This morning, my friends, Satan and the world want to destroy you. They want to remove you from the presence of God and his people. They want to create a new purpose for your life. They want to redefine your identity. They want you to subtly compromise and shift. But my friend, this morning, you can be protected. You can and will be blessed by God when you resolve to do the godly thing in advance. To follow God, to respectfully stand firm by rallying together with godly friends and by relying on God's power and not simply your own. So this morning, what about you? What will you do? Will you decide to be like Daniel, or will you decide to be like everyone else? Do you personally know the power of God at work in your life? And as you grow in that loving relationship with Christ, you understand that God is greater than what you're going through right now, and God is always able to take you through.
I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross.
This life with its great mysteries, surely someday will come to an end. Oh, but faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will last to my friend.
I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay.
I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered,
Well, our time for this program has come to a close, but I trust that you, like Daniel, will stand for God, stand for what is right, and walk with him throughout this week. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a blessed week.